97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show on this Friday. I'm Kim St. Ange, filling in for Mark Cox, who will return on Tuesday, taking his daughter on a college visit. So in the meantime, Scott Jagow in for me. How you doing?
Good morning.
We are back, baby. I know, Scott, you're probably not up on what happened, but Mark's show has been in Facebook jail for what, a month now, Carl?
Oh, yeah. I'm up on it. Yeah.
We are back on Facebook today, just in time for Mark to take a couple days off. We're staying on Rumble, by the way. I know some of you switched over and you were worried we'd ditch that and just go strictly back to Facebook. Not going to happen. All the places you typically could find us, including Twitter, X, whatever, we're staying on that. We're just adding Facebook back as Carl tries to figure out why my head is so tiny on the Facebook feed, if that's where you're watching. Anyway, we are happy because I know a lot of you do like to watch through Facebook. So we're glad to be back, and we'll see how long we can stay back until we go back into Facebook jail.
Yeah, I don't remember what caused that, but
it was some picture he shared.
He shared his remote at the range, St. Louis West.
And they thought it was a weapon.
They thought he was posting about guns, but he wasn't. He was posting that he was going to be at a gun store.
Because it had a picture of a gun, because, you know, it was a gun range, so it would make sense that there might be a gun in the picture.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, pretty ridiculous. I'm happy to be filling in. A lot happened overnight, as it seems like it always is, including Milton. We have some new information, of course, that we'll be covering about that. But did you see the northern lights here locally? Because I woke up to my social media feed with everybody going outside, except me, apparently, and taking a video of this.
Yeah, I heard it was possibly going to happen, but I didn't see it myself.
It looked pretty cool.
No, I didn't. Photos?
No, I saw the videos people took, and I'm always that person who seems to miss it. Like, I see it too late or what. I mean, I guess some of this you have to be up a little bit later, and that's part of the problem is maybe I'm going to bed too early.
And also, usually in a rural area, and the third thing is sometimes you can't see it.
But light pollution.
Yeah, of course. But sometimes you can't see it with the naked eye, but you can see it through the camera, and the camera captures it.
Yep.
So
I remember
a lot
that
of people,
from last time. Which is interesting to me, and not as exciting when you have to hold your phone up to be able to see it. But yeah, I did see some really cool time lapse. I don't know if that's happening again anytime soon, but I mean, I was like, what, 3 months ago that was a thing, too?
Yeah, so I don't even think it was that long ago.
Yeah, it's been happening here. Maybe I'll finally make it out one of these nights the next time it happens to be able to catch it. So coming up on the show, we are going to be talking to Linda and Chuck Raymond in the 7 o'clock hour. They are pro-life activists, I guess you could call them, but they have a very unique perspective on what Amendment 3 would potentially do. She's going to share the story about when they were teenagers, she says her parents forced them to get an abortion. So I'm really looking forward to speaking with them at 7:35. We have Griff Jenkins coming up at 8:20. He has been covering all the aftermath of Hurricane Milton. Like I said, we have some new information on that. The last I think I saw was the death toll was up to 13, 14. You see different accounts. I heard this morning they were saying 17. Then I heard more than 10. Then you look at some outlets and they'll say 13 or some say 14. But millions of people are still without power there.
Yeah, I'm always amazed at how quickly they are able to assess those numbers, because you're dealing with people who are missing. With Helene, it was days and days and days, and there were still a lot of people missing. And now they figured out that they died, but you didn't know at the time. So, my hat's off to the people who actually have to be on the ground taking care of this stuff, because it's a lot of work.
Oh, no, I can't imagine.
Excuse me. We're on Facebook. People are responding. But your camera is blurry. I mean,
we try. Yeah. You know? Well, we're going to try to address that. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's my face, Carl, because it seems like it doesn't happen to Mark. But for some reason, it happens on the other camera,
does.
Too, where Scott's sitting. Because Scott's sitting where I would typically sit.
Maybe you're too beautiful.
I'm in Mark. Yeah, that is it, Carl. Thank you.
You're welcome.
On that note, let's get to the shortlist.
The Mark Cox shortlist.
Their vote, no matter what state they're in, matters.
So that's something that you and Vice President Harris disagree on?
I have spoken about it in the past, that she's been very clear on this, and the campaign, and my position is the campaign's position.
Yeah, that's Tim Walz, Tampon Tim, as you might hear him called, trying to walk back that comment about how they need to get rid of the Electoral College. And I actually appreciated that at least Michael Strahan kind of questioned him on it a little bit harder than you might typically hear on network news.
We have not yet seen the same kinds of energy and turnout in all quarters of our neighborhoods and communities as we
You know it's bad when Barack Obama is saying that the energy, the people motivated to vote for Kamala Harris is down. And as you heard him right there, he's saying black men especially are not that jazzed about one Kamala Harris.
Today I am also announcing that as part of our tax cuts, we will make interest on car loans fully deductible.
Wouldn't that be nice? That was Trump speaking in Detroit yesterday. You know, our mortgages, right? The interest on our homes, that's fully deductible. And now he's saying, why don't we just take that one step further? Why don't we make the interest on car loans fully deductible?
Former President Trump, get a life, man. Help these people.
Will you hold him accountable? You said you were going to hold those accountable.
Public will hold them accountable. You better the press hold them accountable because you know the truth.
Oh, my. What in the heck does that look like? So Biden says to that reporter that he wants the public to hold Trump accountable for, I guess, what he says is all this misinformation that he's spreading as it relates to Hurricane Helene, now Hurricane Milton. For him to say about Trump, get a life, man, help these people. Let me remind you that Trump has already been housing about 200 linemen in one of his hotels in that area. He started a GoFundMe that I believe raised about $7 million for the people there. In fact, I think he donated quite a bit of money himself. You can correct me if I'm wrong there, but he's been there. In fact, he was there before Kamala Harris and Joe Biden ever went to even the Carolinas after Hurricane Helene. And he's not the president.
Right. He's running for office.
I think Trump has done a great job. There's so many things that are going on with FEMA and the funding, and it's just so odd because you have Alejandro Mayorkas not that long ago, like within the last week, you know, he comes out and says there's not enough funding. Then you have another person with FEMA trying to walk back that comment saying, no, don't worry. Then yesterday, Biden comes out talking about how Congress needs to come back. Carl, play clip number 8 for me.
Yes. Right here.
On FEMA funding, how much time does Congress have to act before FEMA or the SBA run out of money?
That's in discussion now. I don't want to give you a mislead you. I think in terms of the SBA, it's pretty right at the edge right now. And I think the Congress should be coming back and moving on the emergency needs immediately. And they're going to have to come back after the election as well. Because this is going to be a long haul for total rebuilding. It's going to take several billion dollars. It's not going to be a matter of just a little bit.
Well, yeah, but then you have Speaker Mike Johnson coming out and saying that it seems like they do have enough money. So you just hear all these conflicting numbers, conflicting reports. Have you been following a lot of what's going on with this, with FEMA and, you know, just what they say is all this misinformation? Do they have enough money? Is it going to the illegals?
Yeah, I have not been following it close enough on that particular aspect of this.
The point is, they need to make sure there's enough money. So I understand that there's a lot of people in Congress who are out campaigning, right? I get it. We're getting close to the election. But this is the number one priority. It should be. So if you need to come back before the election to make sure there's enough money allocated specifically to help in recovery efforts after Milton has just caused widespread damage across Florida, that needs to happen. I don't care about the logistics. Just make it happen. I'm tired of this back and forth. Kamala's sitting there trying to say she's doing so much, and then Ron DeSantis is clapping back again yesterday. He's like, stop. You've not ever really had a hand in any of this. And now that, of course, there's a reason for you to want to say, oh, I'm helping, I'm calling, I'm talking to Republicans and Democrats. Of course, that's the story she's telling. But he's been very clear. He says Biden's actually been helpful. You know, he's agreed he'll give us anything we need. But he's like, Kamala, just get out of here. You have no role in this.
Yeah, she's the one that said it's not a time to play politics, but
right.
She's doing exactly that. I mean, her time is being spent in swing states, just like Trump is, but she's not actually on the ground doing anything.
Right. But she was, oh, Scott, let's give her some credit, though. She did promise $750. That is a lot of money, right? These days, with grocery prices, that's going to get you at least like one, maybe two grocery trips in that area, maybe, to feed your family.
Right.
Give me a break. And people were even saying that they weren't even qualifying. They would apply for it and they'd get $300. In fact, I think it was some mayor in North Carolina who said that happened to his daughter. We played that clip earlier this week. What a joke. All right. It is Friday, and that means we need to get to the fray.
And not yet seen the same kinds of energy and turnout in all quarters of our neighborhoods and communities as we saw when I was running. Now, I also want to say that that seems to be more pronounced with the brothers.
Uh-oh. Even Obama seems a little bit worried about the momentum behind Kamala Harris's campaign leading up to the election. We're, what, 22, 23 some odd days out from November 5th? And he goes to Pittsburgh because he's going to start campaigning for Harris. And he ends up making this surprise stop at this campaign field office. And that was where the comment was made. And he wasn't mic'd up. He was speaking to this small group of men, black men specifically, when he made that comment. So it's a little bit hard to hear what he's saying. But he's saying, yeah, that he's worried that there's just not been this enthusiasm, as at least as much as there was when he was running for office. And he says, especially among the brothers. Here's what he goes on to say. Let me just read you this, and I quote. This is Obama talking. He goes, and are you thinking about sitting this one out? Part of me thinks, and I'm speaking to men directly, part of it makes me think that, well, you just aren't feeling the idea of having a woman as president, and you're coming up with other alternatives and other reasons for that. There might be a very, very, very small group of people who are not voting for Kamala Harris strictly because they don't like the idea of a woman being in office, okay? Maybe a very, very small percentage. But let's be real. The reason why black men specifically, because that's the group he's talking to, are not as excited about Kamala Harris is because they've seen the Democrats time and again promise all of these things, try to speak directly to their community and say, we're going to help you, we're going to lift you up and do all of these things. And then they don't. They get into office and they're the ones who end up getting hurt. He goes on to say that you need to support her because she's somebody who grew up like you, who knows you, went to college with you, and understands the struggles and pain, and there the word is joy, that comes from those experiences. What is it about the Democrats that they're so obsessed with identity politics? Who cares? I understand it's nice to have someone who you can relate to. I do genuinely get that. But ultimately, that's not what's going to make your life better. That is not what's going to bring the prices down at the grocery store. That's not what's going to make houses more affordable. None of that. And those are the real reasons why I believe Kamala Harris is losing steam. I think it. I know some of the polls are saying razor thin, or you Google any polls and they're going to say, oh, Kamala Harris has pulled ahead of Donald Trump. La, la, la. Well, go back to 2016. Remember that? You know, when I did not support Trump, I cringe saying this, guys. I voted for Hillary Clinton. Can you believe that? I was stunned. Yeah, I know that it deserves that. Thank you, Carl. I want to bash myself in the head thinking that I actually supported her at the time. But that's how much I disliked Trump. And I remember I was among the people stunned that he lost. OK, for whatever reason, I just don't think the polls are accurate when it comes to support for Donald Trump. I think we're going to see what played out in 2016. I truly believe that's what's about to play out again come November 5th. So I think it's a good sign that Obama's out there even worried, saying, guys, come on. We got to come together. Come on, brothers. We got to support Kamala Harris. And now there's a little bit of division between Harris and Walls because of that electoral comment, the college comment that he made. And I don't know. This could be tides could be turning right now. All right. When we come back, it is Scott on the Spot. You know, we asked him, Carl, we said, what are you covering for Scott on the Spot? And he said, well, I don't know. I have to figure it out. It's on the spot. So we're going to find out, too.
He's not wrong.
He is not wrong. We're going to find out when we come back. I'm Kim St. Ange, in for Mark Cox.
Not Kim on a whim, but Scott on the Spot.
Scott on the Spot is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Visit MissouriBrushControl.com.
Awesome. Yeah, so is the season for scary movies and haunted houses. So my question is, and I've been doing a lot of thinking about this subject, is do you like to be scared, Kim?
No. I used to. I used to love scary movies, What Lies Beneath, The Ring. And then as I got older, ironically, I got more scared, I think. Hmm. And I just will not watch it because I'm that person who is going to be trying to go to sleep and I'll be tossing and turning and that's what's going to come into my mind. And I'll just fixate on whatever I saw on that, you know, in that movie.
Right. Carl?
Haunted houses do not scare me. I don't think they're really scary at all. Movies, I like thrillers better than scary movies because scary movies, I just wind up laughing because it's so ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, there is not only is there a school of thought about this, there's a school in Denmark that studies this. It's called the Recreational Fear Lab. And 24 hours a day, they study people and why they're scared, why they don't want to be scared, and what it triggers inside our bodies biologically, because it goes back, and the head of this lab, I saw a TED talk with him. It goes back, of course, to the beginning of evolution of humankind, where we had to be scared because we had to be alert for predators that would eat us.
It was so a survival instinct.
It's a survival thing. And today, that still drive is there, even though, you know, we're not walking down the street worried about a saber-toothed tiger.
You're not?
No.
I've seen a few here in downtown St. Louis.
But the point is, that's what drives the recreational fear industry. And by that, I mean haunted houses and scary movies. Mm-hmm. They are tapping into that deep-seated fear that we have that's still there in our DNA. And some people find it cathartic and find it to be pleasurable because you get a dopamine hit.
I was going to say, there is something to that because it's like any other emotion. Like if you're really excited, you still get that hit, right? It's the same thing with fear. It's just a different feeling.
You still get the dopamine afterwards. In fact, I heard Stephen King describe it this way. He said, why do people like scary books and movies? He goes, well, it's kind of like the guy who bangs his head on the wall over and over again. And you ask him, why do you keep doing that? And he goes, because it feels really good when I stop. And that's
worth it.
That's kind of the release you get when you're, you know, on your couch and you're scared of what's happening in the movie. You don't know what's going to happen. And then you get, you know, a jump start or whatever. And then your heart races. And then you get the dopamine rush and you feel better because, oh, we got through that. And that's how, you know, people were back in the day when they were having to deal with saber-toothed tigers or whatever. You know, they would get through the situation and they would feel better. And so that's kind of what drives it. So I was talking with two different people on the KMOX side, and they had the exact opposite reactions. Debbie Monterey loves scary movies. And
I believe
said
that.
When she was a kid, she would be the girl in the basement alone watching them.
Oh, gosh, no.
Yeah. And then,
I was the person, and I still am, in my mid-30s, sprinting up the basement stairs if it's dark because I'm still scared. Like, I don't know.
Spiders, and
my husband,
roaches,
I don't like those either. My
snakes.
Husband has to be one of the jumpiest people I have ever met. And it's funny because my father-in-law is the same way. So when I've seen them both, you know, like freak out, it's hilarious because I'm like, yeah, you probably got it from your dad. Like any little thing, he's launching 10 feet into the air because he's scared.
So the other person I talked to was Amy Markscores, and she cannot stand to be scared.
What? That's why she's a runner. She runs away.
She does.
That's how she got fast.
It's crazy, though. She said, this is a quote. She's like, yeah, all I watch is Hallmark Channel.
Oh, yeah. I come on.
They're having a Halloween movie this weekend.
Are they?
They've done Christmas.
Is it a love story?
Yes.
I'm sure it is.
Basically, they've just swapped out the holidays, but my wife's like, oh, they're doing a Halloween movie, so it's being recorded tomorrow night.
They could just do that with every season, really.
They do.
Why? Really?
Spring into love, fall into love. They do that, like, all the time.
I'm talking about specifically Thanksgiving-themed or Easter-themed, or why stop there? Go Arbor Day, an Arbor Day love story. Who doesn't love that?
Fall in love with the trees.
There are those tree huggers.
Scott, what you said earlier about Stephen King, he loves horror because it has made him very rich.
Well, yes, that's true. The research does show, though, that people like Kim and Amy, who aren't very fond of these things, are probably have a high level of empathy.
Yes, I would argue that. I guess other people would be the better judge if they think I'm an empathetic person, but if I'm answering for myself, I would agree with that. It's okay, but typically women are looked at as being more empathetic than men. So then would you make that case that more men like the scary movies versus women?
I don't know what the research says on that, but I would guess maybe. But I wouldn't make an assumption there. And I'm not saying that people who like scary movies aren't empathetic. I'm just saying people who don't like them tend to have the highest kind of level of empathy for what happens to other people. So they don't want to see, even in a movie, someone get hurt.
Okay, that's fair. That's the point. I would agree with that. I don't know what it is. I like I said, I used to enjoy watching them, and now it just things have changed, and I don't even want the movie.
You're in a mother.
I don't, but even before that.
Before that.
You know what I think it was is when I probably started living alone. I think that is what changed things for me, and then probably becoming a mom also changed things, but I don't even want the movie in my house. I don't even want to see the movie What Lies Beneath on my, not that I guess you have it in DVD version anymore, but I remember as an adult, like when you still did have DVDs, I didn't even want to see it. It creeped me out. That is a scary movie, by the way, and bathtubs can still be freaky. Like all these scary movies target something. Right? Yeah. Like What Lies Beneath, I keep going back to that, targeted the bathtub. The Ring made watching TV kind of creepy. Right. And also Wells were a little creepy because you don't know if Samara is going to climb out of it and kill you.
Yeah, I'm with Carl on this. I'm more toward thrillers rather than
that's scarier.
Slasher movies. They don't really do a whole lot for me because, again, it's kind of funny.
It's funny. I laugh. People don't like taking me to horror movies because I wind up laughing.
But how about
because of what? You just think it's so ridiculous and fake?
Yes.
Well, that's what I tell myself when I am scared to talk myself out of being terrified where I have to go walk away. I think, okay, they said cut right there. Okay, here they said action, and I have to tell myself that
really?
They're just, yeah.
Like the insurance company commercial. Let's go hide behind those chainsaws. Let's run into the basement.
Funny.
Yeah.
But Debbie said that, and this is what the research shows is, people like it because they know it is safe.
Right.
It's a safe way to be scared, so they can still be scared, you know, go through that whole process and the dopamine and all that. But they know in the end that it's not real. So you're not actually facing a real threat. Someone else is, and you're watching it.
Yeah, no, I've heard that too. You're in the safety of your own living room or movie theater, although that has changed for me too. I still go to the movies. I just went to see the Am I Racist movie from Matt Walsh. But I'll tell you what, every time I go to the movies, not that I didn't before, but especially now, I am looking around and making sure I know where I am relative to the exits. And anytime someone walks in the middle of the movie, you're kind of checking them out. I mean, that it's just I know I'm not the only one who's doing that now.
Now, that is a real threat.
Yes.
I mean, the possibility of a real threat.
Well, so and obviously, because that happened
in a scary movie. Because you're saying someone might walk in with a gun in a movie theater.
Right, and they obviously did in Colorado. Right.
Well, they've done it in more than one occasion.
Yes, that's true.
They did it here locally.
That's right.
Yeah.
That was not that long ago, right?
Right.
Gosh, I forgot about that. That was just a handful of months ago. I remember reporting on that.
I don't think that was a real gun. That was the one of
them. No, you're right. But still, if you don't know that, it's dark and you're distracted. You can't really make out what it is.
Fear that's, you know, palpable.
But see, here's the problem. When I watch the scary movies, that becomes real for me. So then I'm sitting in those scenarios and I start to picture what happened in the movie. And then my brain just goes in places I don't want it to go.
I can see that. I can understand that thinking. Today we have these issues that happen and they are real life scary. So there's enough of that. Maybe people just don't want to be tuned into the you know, movies and TVs and books and haunted houses. Although there's a group of people that do like it because they get their scare out without actually being
scared.
Scary situation. Yeah.
Right. Well, here's the problem. The real world right now, politics is scary enough for me. And I don't even know if I feel safe in my own home at this point because, my gosh, depending on the way things shake out, really, it doesn't matter. There's going to be chaos no matter what happens, I believe.
Well, they just hired a bunch of interns at the recreational fear lab in Denmark. So, possibility, future job.
Who funded that lab, I would like to know? Who paid to open a school? Maybe it had another purpose before that, but who paid to open a school to specifically study this?
Independent Research Fund Denmark. That's who paid for it.
Socialists over there.
My gosh. Well, yeah, you will not find me watching scary movies.
We study sleep habits and dreams and things like that. Yeah. It makes sense to me that we would study fear as well.
No, I get it. It's just interesting that they have an entire school about it and they're hiring interns, like going to that length.
And how about nightmares? Do you have?
Yes.
Do you have them?
Yes.
Gotta sleep to have nightmares.
Carl sleeps about 3 hours overnight because he works those events, and then he comes back, works the shift. Though. After the show, he says, "I'm going to go take a nap." And I said, "Oh, how long are you going to nap for?" He's like, 6 hours.
No,
you sometimes will nap for 5 hours. That is, if we took a poll right now, I bet you people would support me in saying that is not a nap. That's sleeping. I'd say past 2 hours, maybe three, you're not napping anymore.
But what if overnight you only slept 2 hours?
True.
Yeah,
took a nap overnight.
Yeah, you took a nap overnight, and then you're sleeping during the day.
I wish. We gotta go.
Oh, Carl. All right, let's get to break. I'm Kim St. Onjin for Mark. So Carl goes, Kim, you know it's Daryl Hall's birthday today, and I said, "Oh, of Hall and Oates," and he was all impressed.
I said,
"A rich girl," and then he was even more impressed. And then he just asked us right before we went back on air. He said, "How old do you think he is?" I'm like, "I don't know, 50s." Scott and Carl just look at me like I'm crazy.
That means he would have been.
This
like,
song is 50 well, years old.
Whatever. you should just be impressed that I knew that Hall and Oates
an infant when he was singing.
You never know; they start younger and younger. How old is he today?
78.
Okay, I was really close. It was just barely off, you know?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Whatever.
38 years.
38 years.
No, sorry, 28
years. Math is hard, right?
Yes, it's early.
Point off for you.
It's fine.
Okay, I saw this story on social media. It was a video that was shared, and you may have seen it yourself. It's a really powerful ad calling out Nike for not fighting for women and girls. It's this company called XXXY Athletics. It's an apparel company that's dedicated to protecting women's sports. They're the ones who put this ad out.
And you know why they released it yesterday?
Well, because yesterday is, so October 10th has been deemed 10-10. Real Women's Day.
XX.
Yes, I like that. I'm a fan. I want to play the ad for you.
Dear Nike.
Dear Nike.
Dear Nike. Why won't you stand up for me?
Why won't you stand up for me? Why won't you?
Why do you claim to support women and girls? Yet when we need you most,
you remain silent.
Today, males are claiming our identity. Our sports.
Our spaces.
Men and boys are stealing opportunities, medals, trophies, and our future.
And it's not fair or just.
In fact, it's often dangerous. Yet you refuse to use your platform to stand up. You say you're for social justice and progress. So why do you allow men's rights to come before ours? See, with a big platform comes an even bigger responsibility.
You have a chance to do the right thing.
Not just do the easy thing.
So we're asking you, Nike.
So we're asking you, Nike.
So we're asking you, Nike.
As the biggest voice in all of sports.
Will you stand up for me? Will you stand up for me?
Will you stand up for me? Will you stand up for me? Will you?
Will you?
Will you just do it?
Yeah, that gives me chills.
Will you just do it? I love it.
I love that they played on the slogan.
Yeah.
It's powerful. Just hearing the little kids, will you just do it, is so cute. I mean, it's sad that we have to do this, that it's come to this point. I saw there was a story about these high school students throughout the state of New York have organized a protest later on this month. This is going to happen on October 24th, and they've dubbed it Walk Off for Fairness Day. And it's about 2 weeks out from Election Day is when they're going to do this. And I think they're just going to walk out of school. And what's going on specifically in New York, I believe, is Proposition 1, which is called the Equal Rights Amendment. And it says it seeks to not discriminate based on race, color, ethnicity, national origin, age, disability, creed, religion, sex, including sexual orientation, gender identity, or expression, pregnancy, blah. It goes on and on and on. So it doesn't specifically say as that relates to athletics, right? But people who are against that are saying the writing is on the wall, that that's exactly what it's intentionally broad, just like Amendment 3 is here in the state of Missouri, to be able to include kind of whatever they want it to include.
Right.
It's wild. I mean, you see so many of these stories of these guys beating these girls. I just saw one the other day, and I don't know if it was a track event or something like that, but this girl lost to a boy. And I don't get it. I don't get how so many people can say they're standing up for women or all these feminists, and then they're the ones who are all about this. They see no issue with a guy, a boy, who is absolutely biologically different than a woman and has physical, to me, advantages compared to a woman, and you're totally fine with that.
I don't know who are these people supporting this. I don't see how there can be any satisfaction if this is allowed to happen. I just don't see it. I don't understand why you would want that to be part of the athletic landscape. I just don't get it.
I don't get it. I'm hoping something changes, but good for these students in New York who have organized this protest. I would be walking out with them if I could. When we come back, there's some pretty crazy new information about this Afghan national who was accused of plotting an ISIS-inspired Election Day terror attack. And wait until you hear Alejandro Mayorkas' answer when he was questioned on that. I'm Kim St. Ange, in for Mark.
Get more at 971talk.com.